Hey, we're starting here on the top of Chaf Dalam and Aleph. Gemara ended up yesterday discussing the din of Shmuel, which is that a person may place his tefillin under his pillow in order to protect him to watch him at night. Afilu ishto imo, even if his wife is with him. And Rava says that even though we have a braita that refutes the position of Shmuel, nevertheless, the halacha is like Shmuel because that is the better and proper way to watch over and take care of the tefillin. And now the Gemara begins in the top of Chav Dalet. Hecha menachluhu. Where does he place them? Am Rav Yirmiyah ben Karda Keset. He puts it between the mattress or the sheet and the pillow. Shelo keneged rosho. Not opposite his head. So the tefillin are there. They're just not, he doesn't lay his head directly on the tefillin, but they're under his pillow above the mattress so they can be protected. Va'atani Rav Chia aminichan bekuva tachet nirashol tav. He places them into the tefillin case right under his head. So Mar says, the mapikle the morsha de kova labar. He has the bulge or the placement of the tefillin outside of the area where his head is. He places them into their bag. The bag is under his pillow below his head. But the place where the tefillin are inside the bag, that is not opposite where his head is sitting. Bar Kapara, or the other gear says Rav Papa, Tzair Luhu Bikilta, he used to wrap them up in the canopy or the bed curtain, who may pick the Marsham the bar, and make sure that they protruded, or the tefillin themselves, protruding to the outside. Shesha Breid Ravidi, Machluhu Ashar Shifa, he placed them on a stool, Rashi says here, a bench, Ubravi Sudra Lai, and then he placed a cloth over them, so therefore they were covered on the bench away from the bed. Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yosef, Zimna Chadav Akamina Kamei De Rava, there's one time that I was being Mishamesh Rava, Vamar Li Zilai Tili Tfilin, go bring him my tefillin. Vashkechidinu Ben Kar the Keset, I went, and I found his tefillin between his pillow and his mattress. Shalo Keneged Rosho, not opposite his head. I knew that that day was the day his wife went to the mikveh. And he did this in order to teach us that even ishtoimo, like Shmuel, the din is that you can place it under your pillow and keep it there as long as it's shalom keneged rosho. So by many Rav Yosef, Breid Rav Nechunya, Rav Yehuda, Shnayim Shishini B'mitacha, two people are sleeping in a bed. They're in the bed. They're not necessarily dressed. What is the din with regards to Kriyat Shema? Can they turn their backs towards each other and then read Kriyat Shema? So we have another din from Shmuel here. Shmuel says, even if it's his wife, he's allowed to do this. So Rav Yosef, Ishto, you want to suggest here, his wife means even his wife and certainly other people. Adarab, it should be just the opposite. Ishto kegufo. His wife is like an extension of his body. He's used to his wife being there. And therefore, there's no issue of here hur. Acher lav kegufo, but it's someone else. Maybe there would be a problem. So Shmuel says the din is that if they do not face each other, let's say Kriyat Shema, that's whether it's his wife or anyone else. According to Rav Yosef, that only works with his wife. Then you can put your bodies opposite each other and say Kriyat Shema. On the other hand, if it's someone else in the bed there, then you could not do that. Meitavei, we have a bright, or shnaim shishinim b'nita achat, two people sleeping in a bed. Zemachzir panav korev, zemachzir panav korev. Betanya Achrita, we have another bright that says, Ayashan b'mita, person who's sleeping in bed, ubanav, ubnei beito, b'tzido, he has his children and his family with him. Harizeh lo yikra kriyat shema limkein, haita talit mafseket b'neem. Should not read kriyat shema unless there is a sheet or a piece of clothing that separates between them. V'mayu banav ubnei beito ktanim, if they are minors, then mutar, then it's totally permissible. Bishmlo Rav Yosef, according to Rav Yosef's explanation, we can reconcile between these two brightot. One braita that says you just turn away and you can say Kriyat Shema. The other braita that necessitates putting some sort of hefsek, some sort of separation between you. Lokash abishto. Comes to his wife, he just has to turn his back. But habacher, when it comes to others, then he has to put in a separation between them. Elishmuel kash, according to Shmuel, it's problematic. Because Shmuel has his wife and others being the same. So how does he reconcile these braito? Samecha Shmuel or Rav Yosef minyecha. Even according to Rav Yosef, does this braita work so well? Vatanya, we have another braita. Hayeshan b'mita. Now, the Bach takes the Girsa Banav, of Bnei Beito Bimbita, and he's sleeping in the bed and his family is with him. Now, Rashi says Bnei Beito here is Ishto, his wife, which is somewhat difficult, because in the previous Braita, we said Bnei Beito was not his wife, it was Banav of Bnei Beito, for his family, not including his wife. Tosafot brings an alternative Girsa from Rav Yosef, the Garsinan, Hayashem Bimita, Vishto Yishena Bitsido. Who's sleeping in a bed, his wife is sitting next to him. He cannot turn his face away and read. They need some sort of sheet or clothing that sits between them. So you see over here, whether it's explicit that it says his wife, or like Rashi, it's implicit in Bnei Beito, it says here by his wife that it's not sufficient to turn away. You have to put something in between. You have to say over here, Ishto, Rav Yosef, Nahi. According to Yosef, about the wife, that's a machloket tanaim, because we have two brightot. One bright that says by wife you could turn away. One bright that says you need to put something in between. So it's clear, according to Rav Yosef, there's a machloket tanaim, and he subscribes to the Tana that says that you can turn away. So for me too, the didinami tanai, so too. I have the same thing with these other brightot before. One brighta says that ishto and anybody else, you're allowed to turn away. And one Tana says that when it's others, you cannot turn away, you have to put something in between. I subscribe to the Tana who thinks that everybody is fine as long as you turn away. So it is a machloket tanaim, but I subscribe to a specific Tana, just like Rav Yosef. It's Amar Mar. So now we're going to go back and investigate this. Amachzir panav akrik yishma. Vayika gavot. What about their buttocks? Meaning that it's fine that they've turned their bodies away. They do not see each other. There's no contact between the bodies now. But the backs of the bodies now are in contact. Masayla Rav Huna. This helps the position Rav Huna. Tam Rav Huna gavot ein ben mishum erva. Buttocks don't have a din of erva over here, so there's no issue of stimulation or hirhur, and that's why they can say Kriyat Shema even though the buttocks are in contact. Let's say that we have another Mishnah that seems to help Rav Huna's position. Mishnah from Chala, it says, Aisha Yoshevet V'kotela Chalata Aruma. Woman who is naked can go ahead and separate at the Chala while she is naked. Because she can cover up her erva in the ground. When she sits down, her erva is completely covered by the ground. If that's the case, she can be mafish the challah and she can say the brocha, the shem Hashem, without any problem. But a man cannot do this, because even a man is sitting on the ground, his erva protrudes outwards. And therefore he would see his erva, and would be inappropriate for him to be mafish challah and say the brocha. So Targum Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, what's the case here? Kagon shaya paneh tochot bekarka. Case by the woman is where she's sitting on the ground, naked, and therefore her erva is facing down into the ground, it's completely covered by the ground. If that's the case, what about the buttocks again? No problem. So that's exactly like Rav Huna. This Mishnah supports that position Rav Huna, that all we worry about is the erva. We do not worry about the buttocks in these cases. Amamar, imayu banav uvnei metok tanim mutar. If the family that's with him in the bed are minors, then it's not a problem from, say, Kriyat Shema. Bad kama. Until what age are they considered to be minors? Amar Rav Chisa, tinoket bat shlosh shanim v'yom echad, b'tinok ben shtet shanim v'yom echad. For a female, for a girl, it's up to 3 years in one day. For a boy, it's up to 9 years in one day. That'll be the qualification based on when they are re'uyim the bi'ah, when they can have relations. So for a girl, 3 years in one day is considered to be the threshold for relations, when she will not have her betulim come back anymore. And for a boy, 9 years in one day is considered to be the threshold for bi'ah. We've seen this halacha in Nida and many other places that have ramifications in terms of arayot. Ikadar, may some say the age threshold here is tinoket bat yudal shana v'yom echad. For a girl, it's 11 years in one day. V'tinok shtemesh es shana v'yom echad. For a boy, it's 12 years in one day, meaning a year preceding their bar mitzvah. V'idi v'idi. And both of these are k'dei shadayim nachonu usarech simeach. It is the time period when the breasts begin to be fashioned or developed. And the hair has sprouted. I mean, it's the beginning of the age of puberty. And therefore, at that point already, it's not appropriate to say Kriyat Shema facing them that you have to turn away. Under that age, it's not a problem. In the previous case with tefillin under the pillow, even though his wife was with him in bed, Rabba said, even though we have a brayta that refutes Shmuel's position, Allah is like Shmuel. In our case here, we also have Shmuel saying that whether it's Ishto or Acher, doesn't matter, you just turn away from them and you can say Kriyat Shema. What's the din? We have a bright also that goes against that, even though when it's a machloket Tanaim, you can say I hold like one Tana, not the other. What's the din of here? Amalei, Ata Kulu Bechada Machta Machtinu? Wait a minute, are all of these woven in a single weave? Meaning each halacha is separate, each din is separate. Why are you trying to extrapolate a statement of Rava by one din of Shmuel to a din over here when they have nothing to do with each other? Wherever Rava said halacha is like Shmuel, that's when he said it. If we don't have a memra from Rava about this memra of Shmuel, it has no bearing. We can't just extrapolate that Rava says it looks like Shmuel over there, so therefore it's like that, like Shmuel over here. If he has pubic hair that are protruding out of the hole of his beged, what's the din? Can you read Kriyat Shema or not? Karalei, Seyar, Seyar. He said, damn, it's hair. Meaning, as Rashi points out over here, it's not meaningful. It's irrelevant. It's insignificant. You don't have to worry about that. So now the Gemara moves on to an issue of Arayot, which says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Tefach v'isha erva. The Tefach in any woman is classified as an erva. Lemai, what is this din for? Ilem listu kule ba. If it's to look at a woman, you can't look even at a Tefach of the erva of a woman. V'amar Rabbi Sheshet, lama manak tuv tashridim b'chutz im tashridim b'fnim. Why did the Torah, when it comes to the battle with Midian, when they bring back all the jewelry of the woman and the clothing of the woman, and they donate that as a kapara for the sin by Baal Peor, why does it mention both internal and external jewelry? As Rashi points out, whether it's talking about bracelets or something that they wore, connected the makom erva, all those items are mentioned together. So teach you, lomar lecha kol mistakel be'etzvah ktana shel isha, person who looks at even the pinky of a woman, ilu mistakel b'makom ha'torit, it's as if they're looking directly at the erva. Person may not look at a woman in order to derive hana or benefit or have hirurim about her. Ella, so then what's tevag b'isha erva significant for? Bishto ulu kriyat shema. That's for his wife and kriyat shema. That's to teach you, number one, Kriyat Shema cannot be said connected Erva. We know that because it says Lo Yerbacha Erva Davar. So we know that already that Kriyat Shema may not be said connected Erva. Number two we learn is that Ishto, even by his wife, anything that's classified as an Erva is problematic in terms of Kriyat Shema. That's whether it's someone else or his wife. So his wife as well will be a problem. How much Erva must be exposed? So that's a Tefach Risha Erva. To the amount of a Tefach that's exposed, that causes a problem for Kriyat Shema with his wife. Amar Rav Chista. Shok b'isha erva. When it comes to, now shok, the definition, or the more generally accepted definition of shok is a thigh. According to some of the Rishonim, shok might refer to the calf as well. So that is considered to be an erva, and cannot be exposed in the woman. Shinemar, because the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, gali shok ivri narot. You will expose your thigh in order to cross over the rivers. Uchtiv, and the subsequent Pasuk says, Tigalar vateich, that your nakedness has been revealed, v'gam tereach arpateich, and your shame has now been seen. So in the next pasuk, the subsequent pasuk says that exposure, that lifting up to cross the rivers, was an exposure of erva. So that's why it's classified as an erva. Amar Shmuel says kol b'isha erva. The voice of a woman is classified to be an erva. Shenemar kolech harev umarech naveh, because your voice is sweet and melodious, umarech naveh, and your appearance is alluring. So you see from the fact that the Torah praises this in the woman, this is from Shir HaShirim, in describing the woman, it says these are the beautiful features of this woman. Plus, it connects it to the appearance of the woman. You see that that has an aspect of erva or alluring to it. So Rav Sheshet should say, Arbisha erva, the hair of a woman is considered to be an erva. Shnemar sarech keeder ayizim. In the same thing in Shir HaShirim, it gives praise to the hair of the woman, like that of a flock of goats. So over here, it's less clear what the meaning is, but again, the fact that the Shir HaShirim praises the woman for this, sounds like that this is a feature of the woman that is attractive and alluring, and therefore it's a problem of erva. Now there is a machloket rishonim here as to this piece of Gemara, whether it's only referencing Kriyat Shema, or this is a broader issue of erva. That these dinim that are mentioned here apply across the board, and when we deal with arayot, or exposure, or covering of the woman, this is the din across the board, or is this simply a din in Kriyat Shema, and all these dinim are unique to Kriyat Shema, have nothing to do with arayot outside of Kriyat Shema. Because of the restriction of saying Kriyat Shema in front of these arayot, therefore you have to, or is this unique to Kriyat Shema because it's a davar shebikdusha and requires one to be focused and of yeshuva dat and not be distracted with anything else? And these dinim are unique to Kriyat Shema. That's number one. The second thing to consider over here is this idea of tefach v'isha erva. Now tefach v'isha erva is, again, is that unique to Kriyat Shema? Or is that a din that applies to all erva? Meaning the exposure of all erva is only considered an exposure if there's a tefach appearing. Less than a tefach is not considered to be exposure in these cases. Obviously, we wouldn't say, oh, play around with this and get less than a tefach out, because then it won't be an erva. But if it's less than a tefach, it won't be classified as an erva. And this has nafkamina, for instance, with hair. If a woman covers her hair and the sum of the hair is exposed, then we say tefach v'isha erva. Now, many make the mistake to say tefach v'isha erva means that if you have a tefach from the front of the hairline back, that's fine. But Moshe says that's not the case. Moshe Feinstein says that a tefach v'isha erva is the entirety of the hair that's exposed. That means they have to look at the square area of the hair. Not only is it from the hairline back, but it's to the sides. And you have to take all of that into consideration for the tefach, which means that you can have very little hair exposed. So again, Rav Moshe points out that this is a mistake that people make about tefach b'isha erva. Beyond that, there is a question of whether it should even apply to all of the arayot, or is it unique to this issue of Kriyat Shema. Lastly, with regards to hair, say Rav Isha is considered to be an erva, and if a woman's hair is uncovered, one may not say Kriyat Shema opposite a woman whose hair is uncovered. Now that is not only true of Kriyat Shema, it's true of all brachot, and of learning Torah. Learning Torah, it's being articulated, it's being spoken. In all these cases, there's a problem of learning, making brachot, or saying Kriyat Shema opposite a woman whose hair should have been covered. A married woman in the Ashkenazi circles who should have her hair covered. If she doesn't have her hair covered, then it's, one is precluded from saying a bracha, kriyat shema, or learning Torah opposite that woman. The Aruch HaShulchan is melamed zchut in our times, meaning that he's talking back in late 1800s, early 1900s, that it became so acceptable for women not to cover their hair that maybe Se'er B'Yisha Erva does not apply anymore with regards to the din of kriyat shema. He does not give permission. Many people misquote the Aruch HaShulchan. He doesn't say that women do not have to cover their hair anymore. And he does not say that Se'er B'Yisha Erva does not apply anymore. The only thing he says is that by Kriyat Shema, since Kriyat Shema has to do with focus and Yishuv Hadat, maybe a woman's hair being exposed is not an issue anymore. Now, why should that be so? We have Erva. Erva is objective and inherent problematic. Why should it be the practice of the women or what they cover, they don't cover, should make a difference? The answer is that by hair, it might be different than other Arayot. Other areas of the woman which are Arayot are considered to be Arayot no matter what, because they are inherently alluring and they have that nature to them. On the other hand, hair is considered being erva because of the way it's learned from the Torah. Here the Gemara brings a pasuk. In other places, like in the Gemara in Sotah, the Gemara notes that it's because by Sotah it says that the Kohen uncovers the woman's hair by the Sotah. And from there we learn that the woman's hair should have been covered, or is normally covered. And from that we know that women cover their hair. So the covering of one's hair has to do with the societal norm, at least according to the Gemara. Normal hair is normally covered, and then you uncover it. So there, based on that, the Aruch HaShulchan wants melamed zchut that today, if women don't have their hair covered, that one may then be able to say Kriyat Shema. Again, he says this is a completely bidyavid. He does not justify women who do not cover their hair, and does not say that Se'er B'Yisha is not an erva anymore. He simply says in that small, narrow situation that maybe we could say Kriyat Shema when women's hair is uncovered. This does have nafkaminot in shul, in shuls that have mechitza. If the mechitza is not high enough, and women come to shul with their hair uncovered, it may be problematic in terms of davening, in terms of saying kriyat shema, that women's hair is visible from the other side of the mechitza, that's an erva, and is problematic for davening. So the mechitza would have to be high enough in order to cover that. Beyond that, they also have to be in a situation where you can't see through them. If you can see through the mechitza and the woman's hair is uncovered, you run into the same problem. Because we're going to see in tomorrow's daf, that an erva bashishit, erva behind glass, is still classified as erva. So that would be a problem. So even though you might believe that mechitza is of sufficient height or is dividing between men and women, it may not be enough because of the way women come dressed to shul. If they come dressed inappropriately to shul, and that's whether their hair is uncovered, whether their legs are exposed, that could cause a problem in terms of davening and kriyat shema. And so therefore, if the women are not dressed appropriately, it might require that the mechitza either be higher or not be transparent, because it will cause a problem in terms of saying kriyat shema. In situations one can try their best, should turn their whole body away from the woman. If it's an impossible situation, difficult situation at a table, they may be able to turn their head away in order to b'dieved take care of this situation. But this applies even to one's wife. I mean, this exposure, Se'er B'Yisha Erva, applies even to one's wife, not just to other women. And therefore, when it comes to kriyat shema, davening, or learning Torah, one's wife's hair is exposed, or any of the other erva are exposed, it is problematic in these situations. The person needs to turn away in order to learn, say a bracha, or say kriyat shema. I'm Rabbi Chanina. I read it, Rabbi, shetalat tefilav. I saw Rabbi hang up his tefillin on a peg on the wall. Meitave, how could you do that? Tolet tefilav lulo chayav. Anybody who hangs up their tefillin, his life should be hung. Dorshei chamurot, those that expound on the essential psukim, Rashi says dorshei rishumot. Basically, it means these people that are homiletical exegetes say, Amru v'yuch tluim lecha mineged. Your life will be hanging opposite you, meaning that hanging in balance, you won't know whether you're going to live or not. Zeh tolet tefilav. This is someone who hangs up his tefillin. Mida k'neged mida. If you treat the tefillin in such a disgraceful manner by hanging them, your life will also be in the balance in hanging. So Gemara says, Lo kasho, habi ritzua, habi tzitza. First answer to the Gemara is, depends how you hang them. If you hang them by the ritzuot, that is a disgraceful way to do it because the bayit, which is the ikar, is hanging down from the ritzuot. Oh, and if you put the bayit on the peg and the ritzuot hang down, that'll be fine. The other opinion, this is the halacha, is you cannot hang it whether it's from the ritzuot or from the bayit itself. Asur. B'chi tala rabi b'kista tala. He put it in its bag. It was in its bag and he hung the bag up. So yochi ma'ilam emro. What's the chiddush then? That hanging up the bag is fine. Ma'udatim, I would have thought tibayanacha k'sefer Torah. It might need placement like a sefer Torah to be laid down. Kamash balon, that it's okay. Once it's in its case, the tefillin, you can hang them up on a peg and that is not problematic. Amar Rabbi Chanina, ani riti et rabi shegihek upihek v'nita tesh v'rak. So his davening shmona asur and I saw him burp or belch. Pihek, yawn. Nita tesh. Sneeze. This is at least according to Rashi. Some of the other Rishonim have other interpretations. When we come to the conclusion of the Gemara, you'll see the differential between them, and that differentiation should apply to no matter how you read these words. Virak, and he spit. And he used to use his beged to rub out. If he found a louse that was climbing on his body to take it out, he used to use his beged to rub it off. If his talit fell off in the middle of davening, he would not put it back on, because that would be interruption in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. When he used to yawn, he used to place his hand over his mouth. When he yawned, he covered his mouth, so his mouth was open, it would not be exposed. It was an inyan of tzniut, to cover up one's mouth. It's both an inyan of tzniut, as well as hygiene. Now, we have the girsa this way. Tosafot brings an alternative girsa from the Rach that combines the last two items. That he fixed his talit if it fell off a little bit. If it was just a little fixing, he used to do it during Shemoneh Esrei. But if it fell off completely or entirely, then he wouldn't fix it during Shemoneh Esrei. So the Rach has it being one item, not two separate items. Suppose the Rash, who has it as two separate items. How could Rebbe do this? Someone who raises his voice when he's diving Shemoneh Esrei, he's a person who doesn't have real faith in Hashem, because he believes Hashem can't hear him unless he raises his voice. Someone who really raises his voice, screams in his tefillah, he's like the false prophets. Because by Eliyahu in Kara Carmel, it says over there that the Nevi'e Sheker, he tells him to scream out louder so that the Baal can hear them. So screaming out is an implication of someone who thinks that God can't hear unless they speak loudly. If he burps or sneezes, that is someone who is haughty. You do such a thing in the middle of davening. Hamita Teish. Someone who sneezes. Someone who burps or yawns during his tefillah. That's someone who is haughty. Mitatesh, someone who sneezes, betfiloto siman ra. That is a bad omen for him. Now, v'yesh omrim, we have it here in the placement of the braita, which is nikashu mukhwar. It means this person is disgusting of a lower class. Rashi and some of the Rishonim move the yesh omrim back to the migaheko behek, that if one yawns or burps during davening, the first thing is migase ruach is hoari, v'yesh omrim nikashu mukhwar. This is a disgusting person. So they move it back to the previous statement in the Braita. Meantime, we have here a stira. We have a problem. The Braita says it's a problem too. Megahek, pihek, and mitatesh. And the last thing is a rak bitfilato. Someone who spits in his during Shemoneh Esrei. Kilu rak bipnei amelach. The Zevi spit before the king. So you have all these items that Rabbi did in during his Shemoneh Esrei. And here we have a Braita that explicitly says that all of them are problematic. So the Braita is going to go through them one by one. Megahek, pihek. When it comes to yawning and burping, lo kasha, that's not a question. Kan onso, kan rtsono. Depends whether it's voluntary or an involuntary action. And that'll be important. No matter what you say gihek and pihek are, the basic difference between them will be whether it's an involuntary action, something that happens by itself in the body. In that case, it's not problematic. But if something that is done voluntarily by the individual and that he can engender such a thing to happen, then that would be problematic during Shemoneh Esrei. So that'll be the key difference here. Elamitatesh, mitatesh kasha. What about sneezing? Rabbi sneezed, then it was fine in the Shemoneh Esrei. And here we're saying sneezing is a bad omen. Mar says, mitatesh, mitatesh, nami lukasha. That's not a problem. Kan me lamala, kan lamata. Depends where you're sneezing from. If you're sneezing from your mouth, that's okay. That's an involuntary action. Happens during Shemoneh Esrei. That's fine. On the other hand, mitatesh, milamata is to flatulate, to pass gas down below. That is considered to be unacceptable during Shemoneh Esrei. Damar Rav Zeira, ha milta ivloli bei Rav Hamnuna. I was swallowed this. I had this issue at the Bei Medrash Rav Hamnuna, but taklile kikule talmudai, and it's weighty to me like the rest of my learning. Meaning this is precious to me like everything else that I've learned. Mitatesh b'tfilah siman yafelo. Someone who sneezes during Shemoneh Esrei, that is a good omen. B'shem she'osim lo nacharu lamata, just like the sneezing below gives him some relief. Kachosim lo nacharuach milamala. It's a siman that above they're also giving him relief or the benefit that comes about from such a sneeze. So therefore, he who sneezed a lot saw this as being something positive. El rak rak kasha, what about spitting? So rak rak nami lo kasha, spitting is also not a question. Efshar k'de Rav Yehuda. Fans, if you do it like Rav Yehuda, dam Rav Yehuda, ayahu made bitfila b'nizdamein lo rok mabli obitalito. If he has saliva or a spittle that comes out during davening, he should go and put it into his beged. If he has a beautiful new cloak and he doesn't want to put it into that, he can put it into his turban or his head covering. Ravina was standing behind Rav Ashi in his damelo rok. He had some sort of spittle saliva in his mouth. Pitke l'achrei, turned behind him and let it go. Don't you hold of that position of Rav Yehuda that you can't spit in the middle of Shemoneh, so you have to put it into some sort of beged so it's not considered to be offensive. I am squeamish finicky, I am a mifunak, and therefore, if I kept it in my bag, I'd be so disgusted that I wouldn't be able to continue in davening. So I did this in order to relieve myself so that I could continue in davening, otherwise I wouldn't have been able to continue. Amashmiya kolo b'tfilah ta'or ezeh mikatnei emunah. The Gemara is going back to discuss this other part of the braita. Amar Avuna lo shonu elo sheyachol lekaven et libo belachash. That's as long as he can concentrate by doing it silently. Aval ein yachol lekaven et libo belachash mutar. If he's unable to concentrate when he does it silently, then it's mutar to raise his voice. He's not raising his voice because he thinks Hashem can't hear. He's raising his voice in order to facilitate better concentration. V'hani mi libi yachid. That's only if he's davening alone. Aval b'tzibur ata lemitra tzibura. But if he's in a public situation, he's a place in shul, then he can't do that because he's going to cause problems for the tzibur. Now, this happens to be a very sensitive and difficult issue, which is that the Gemara early on learned from Tefillat Chana how one is supposed to daven. They're supposed to have their lips moving, expressing, articulating the words that they can hear themselves, but nobody else can hear it. Over here, the Gemara says there's a problem of davening out loud because it affects other people. The Mishnah Berurah, in dealing with the Tefillot of Rosh Hashanah, says that when it came to the Tefillot HaShanah, the rest of the year, they did not have Sidurim. Not everybody had Sidurim, and they davened Baal Peh, by heart. And therefore, if someone davened out loud, they could confuse, or they could cause problems for someone who is davening Baal Peh. On the other hand, on Rosh Hashanah, where everybody had Sidurim for the Yamim Noraim, over there, there's no problem of davening out loud, because it will not cause confusion, because everybody has a Siddur. And that would seem to be what's deriving from this Gemara over here. The Mitra B'tzibura is because the people are davening Baal Peh, and that will cause them difficulty in focusing or concentrating, and therefore he has to do it silently. But today, where everybody has Sidurim, it would seem from that Mishnah Berurah that this would not be an issue and would not be a consideration. Now, there are always people on both sides of this situation, because some people find it easier to concentrate when they daven loudly or out loud, and others find it a disturbance to their tefillah. So one has to come to a balance between these, and even if they do daven out loud, they should do it in such a manner that does not disturb others. Rabbi Abba Abakal Mishtamit Minei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Abba was trying to avoid his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, Dabaka Baila Mesek Dairis Israel. Because Rabbi Abba wanted to make Aliyah from Bavel and go to Eretz Israel, but he knew that his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, objected. Dam Rabbi Yehuda, Kololem mi Bavel Eretz Israel Ver Ba'aseh. Anybody who makes Aliyah from Bavel to Eretz Israel violates an Aseh, Shenemar, Bavelu Yuvol, because you will be taken into Galut to Bavel after the Churban Bayit Rishon, Veshama Iyu, and there you must remain, Ad Yom Pukti Otam Neum Hashem, until I redeem you and bring you back. Amar Izel, Eshma Mine Milta, Mi Beit Vado, Vahadar Api. Says, before I leave Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to go by the Beit Medrash to the Academy. I'll stand outside, and then I'll go up to Eretz Yisrael. Azal Ashkechei Letano. So he stood outside, so Rabbi Yehuda couldn't see him, but he could hear what was going on. Atana was presenting before Rabbi Yehuda. Tani Kamed Rabbi Yehuda, Hayomed Bitfilav Nitatish. Person is standing and davening, and then he flatulates, he passes gas. Mamtid achi yichle ha ruach, or achi yichle ha reyach. He waits until the gas passes or the smell passes, v'chuzer mitfilah, and then he continues to daven. Ikedamre, ayomedu mitfilah ubikesh leitatesh. He's standing there davening, in the middle of davening, he needs to pass gas. Marchik lacharav dalet amot. He moves back for amot, umitatesh, and then he releases the gas. Umamtin achi yichle ha ruach or reyach, and then he waits until it dissipates. Chuzer, and then he goes back, umitfilah, and begins davening again. Vomer. Before he goes back and daven, since he's already interrupted, he can also add in this tefillah. Ribono shalolam, yitzartanu nikavim nikavim chaludim chaludim. You made us out of holes and orifices. Galoi v'yadua lefenecha is well known to you. Cherpateinu klimateinu, our shame, our disgrace, bichayenu in our lifetime. Ubachriteinu rimavet olelah, and our end is worms and maggots and to be rotten. So therefore, he's just giving an indication that the fact that he had this human experience of having to pass gas, even though he's standing before God, he says, God, you know that we're just human and that we are so fragile, and there is nothing to us. You made us in this way. This is our biological makeup. And therefore, he tries to, in some way, excuse himself for that behavior. And then, he continues davening for where he left off. Had I just come to hear this memra, it would have been worthwhile just to hear this piece of Torah. He's laying down in his bed naked, and his talit is there, but he doesn't want to stick his head out because of the cold. Chutzeis b'talito atzavaro, he places his clothing or the sheet around his neck, tightens it there, v'korei kriyachma, and reads kriyachma. V'yeshramim alibo, that he has to pull it tight below his heart. V'tanakama, hare libo roe et erva. What about the tanakama? Tanakama, that hasn't anything mafsik between the heart and the erva below, which we'll see. Again, in tomorrow's daf is problematic. Kasava libo roe et erva mutar. He thinks that it's fine. You don't have to separate between them. Samravuna Rabbi Yochanan, ayam aleich bimvaot mituna fot. If a person's walking in an area that is inappropriate for davening, whether because of smell or what's contained there, You put your hand over your mouth and you say Kriyachma. Chista says back to Rav Huna, had I heard this from Yochanan directly, I would not listen to him. Some have the memory like this. Walking in these places that are not ra'ui for davening, cover over your mouth and you say Kriyachma. Chista says back to Rav Huna, Elukim, Imamarli Rav Yishua ben Levi before me. Shulman Levi said it to me directly, though Tzaitinale, I would not listen to it. Umi Amar Ravuna, Achi. Did Ravuna really say it's okay to cover your mouth and then go ahead and say Kriyat Shema? Amar Ravuna. Tamar Chacham Asur La'alamod, La'amod B'makom Ha'tinofet. Tamar Chacham may not stay stationary in a place where there is some problem, either a smell or what is contained there. It's a place that's inappropriate for learning or davening. Lefish Yevshalo La'amod B'lihirur Torah. Because he can't stand there without having thoughts of Torah. And therefore, in this location, it's inappropriate, so you should move on. So when it says, Lokasha, that we can reconcile in Rav Huna, Kan Ba'omeid, Kan Ma'alech. Depends on the situation. In a situation where he's passing through, then he covers his mouth and he says, Kriyat Shema, that's fine. Over there, it's Omeid. He's stationary in the Makom HaMetinofet. There, he shouldn't stay because the Hiru Torah will be problematic. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Achi? What about Rabbi Yochanan? Did he really say that you just cover your mouth and say it? Amar Rabbi Barchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. B'chol Makom Mutar La'Ereo B'Divrei Torah Chutz Mi'Beit HaMerchatz Mi'Beit HaKiseh. Persons can think about Torah anywhere except in the bathhouse and in the bathroom. Two places where it would be inappropriate. So why can't he talk about Torah there? He can just cover his mouth or do the same thing he did with Kriyat Shema. V'chitei Ma'ochanami. If you want to answer the same way we did before, Kan Ba'omeid Kama Halech, that one place he's standing, one place he's walking, ini. Can you really say that? V'ha Rabbi Yaboah B'Kazu B'Tre Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was following behind Rabbi Yochanan. He was reading Kriyat Shema. When he came to a place that was disgusting, a place that he couldn't say Kriyat Shema, he stopped. So Rabbi Yochanan, there. When he cleared through that place and he wanted to continue Kriyat Shema, he says, where do I go back to? Do I go back to the beginning of Kriyat Shema or to where I stopped off? If there was enough time elapsed that you could have said the whole thing, then that's considered a hefsek and you have to start over again. If not, then you can continue from where you left off. So based on that, it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan with Rabbi Abahu asking him a question about stopping to say Kriyat Shema in that location, even though he is Mahalech. He says back to Rabbi Abahu, I don't hold what you did. And that's for two reasons I don't hold of that. Number one is, you're Mahalech. You're walking, you can just cover your mouth and you can say Kriyat Shema. And on top of that, I don't believe, even if you could finish the entire thing, I think you can go back. But Ladidach, according to you, the Svirlach, Im Sheita Gedeg Demoret Kula, who thinks that if you waited the amount of time it takes to complete it, then Chozer the Rosh, then I'm giving you an answer. So Yochanan says, I'm giving you an answer about the Shitatcha. Shitatcha, which number one, you have to stop when we're halei through this Makom HaTinofet. And number two, where if there was enough time elapsed to complete the entire Kriyat Shema, then you can go back to the beginning. The Shitatcha, I'm giving you an answer. The Shitati, I don't need either of those. Number one, if you're walking through Makom HaTinofet, you can just cover your mouth and continue saying Kriyat Shema. And number two is, I think you can do it over the whole day. And that's based on a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yochanan says you can blow the shofar, the teisha tkiot you need over the entire day. Tanya kaveti Rav Huna, Tanya kaveti Rav Chista. We have a bright that supports Rav Huna's position, and we have a bright that supports Rav Chista's position. Tanya kaveti Rav Huna. We have a bright that supports Rav Huna's position. Amalek mevot amitunafot miyadiach yado apiv v'kra Kriyat Shema. He walks through these places. He covers his mouth and he says Kriyat Shema exactly the way Rav Huna quoted Rabbi Yochanan. Tanya kaveti Rav Chista. We have a bright that supports Rav Chista's position. Amalek mevot amitunafot lo yikra Kriyat Shema. He may not read Kriyat Shema in those locations, not only should he not start there, but if he has already started, he has to stop. Lo pasak mine. If he doesn't stop, what do we say about that? Amar Yasha Bar Berei de Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, grandson of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Alava Ketuv Omer, the pasuk says about him, V'gam ani natati lehem chukim lo tovim. I gave them statutes that were no good, u'mishpatim lo yichyu behem, and laws that they will not live by. Means doing something inappropriate. Vasi Amar, hoi, moshchei ha'avon bechavlei hashav. Woe to those that draw the string of iniquity with cords of vanity. As Rashi points out, these cords of vanity are going to split. They don't hold up. So too over here, this sin, this saying of Kriyat Shema is not going to hold up. It's going to fall apart. Tosfot says, even worse, for no reason he's causing himself a sin. Here he's trying to do a mitzvah and he continues to read, and instead it turns out to be a aveira. And that's like Chevle Yashav. Those things that are in vain, cords that are in vain. So to hear the speaking of Kriyat Shema is a sin because he's speaking in vain. We learn from this, Ki Dvar Hashem Baza. He despised the word of Hashem. He did something, he said the Kriyat Shema in a place that he shouldn't say it. Vim Pasak Mascharo, if he stops for the Makom HaTinofet, what's his reward? Amar Rabbi Bo, Alava Ketuv Omer, V'dvar Hazeh Tarichu Yamim. With this, you will extend your life. Meaning, if you do it properly and pour it proper kavod to the word of Hashem, then tarichu yamim, then you will lengthen your days with that. Okay, we're going to stop over here.